There used to be, I guess there still is, an old spiritual song that we sang back in the 60s. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And certainly Jesus says that to his disciples. By this all men will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And yet in this season, I think that there is something to be said about Christians realizing that we are another hallmark of who we are as God's people is people who are thankful. And so I just want you to think for just a few moments as you prepare perhaps to share a thought or two for which you are thankful. I want to ask you a question. In my experience as a pastor, I frequently will have people come to my office trying to sort out the details of their lives. They're trying to figure out perhaps what job they should consider. Or maybe if they're younger, they're trying to sort out God's will for their life in terms of a spouse. There are lots of things that we find ourselves wrestling with when we think about what does God want to do with my life and in my life and through my life. And again, as a pastor, people oftentimes seek me out for counsel. And maybe you've had an experience recently where you thought, boy, if only I knew what God wanted for me, that would sure help me in this decision. Well, if I could tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt what God's will was for your life this morning, would you be interested? I mean, whatever you're facing, if I could say, I can tell you for certain, this is God's will for you, would that be helpful information? Well, I discovered that knowing God's will is not necessarily as hard as we might think. It's easy to think of God's will in kind of a mysterious fashion. And yet, this season of the year gives us an opportunity to live out God's will. I want to point your attention to a scripture verse. You can read it in your Bibles. I have it up on the screen. It's very short. It's actually three verses, but they're very short. This is how it reads. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Since it's up on the screen and we can all read it, would you read it together with me? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I told you I could tell you God's will for your life. Now, again, we tend to think of God's will in terms of location. Where should I live? And vocation, what should I do? And spouse, who should I marry? But you know what? The Bible is much more clear about God's will in terms of how we should live. And the last part of this verse says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So as concerned as we are with knowing God's direction for our lives, we can start with something that's very clearly spelled out for us in the Bible. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. But the question is, what is the connection between these different things? Rejoice, pray, give thanks. They're all at the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians, and they're all instructions that I think we can learn from, and they're all instructions that I think are specific to us as Christians. Rejoice always. That means whatever circumstance you find yourself in today, there is reason to rejoice. Pray continually. Whatever's going on in your life, whether it's great news or horrible news, or whether you're just kind of trudging along in life, pray. And whatever circumstance you find yourself, give thanks. It is a connection that whatever happens in life, these are things that we can do. If you want to know God's will is that wherever you find yourself, whatever is happening in your life, you have reason to rejoice, cause for prayer, and reason for thanksgiving. But some of you, at least, must be thinking, you don't know my life. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the circumstances that I'm facing. Well, this verse is a verse that is not dependent specifically on our circumstances. It's whatever we face. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. But one question that I think you probably may have is, does God really want me to give thanks in everything that happens to me, or for everything that happens to me? And my answer would be, absolutely not. You don't have to give thanks for everything that happens to you. That's not what the verse tells you. It says, give thanks in every circumstance, not for every circumstance. Now, let me just explain there's the difference between in and for. I don't know that God is thankful that we turn our backs on Him and we sin against Him. I don't think that God rejoices when people rebel against Him. And I don't think that we have any cause to rejoice when horrible things happen. But in those circumstances, there are opportunities for us to give thanks. In the midst of whatever comes our way, there is always something that we can thank God for. When I think of everything, you know, is there some limit to what we should be thankful for? Well, in the context of the Bible and in the context of 1 Thessalonians, I would say no. Everything means everything. Every circumstance, there is opportunity to thank God. Let me just give you two examples from this book. In 1 Thessalonians, we're not going to study the book together, but it's a short book, and if you read through it, one of the things you'll discover is the people to whom Paul wrote this letter were people who were facing severe persecution. In fact, when Paul went to first minister to them, he was run out of town because of persecution. So these were people who, for their faith in Jesus Christ, were suffering. And it wasn't easy to be a Christian. And yet, in that circumstance, they had reason to be thankful. We spent a Sunday school class talking about that because Jesus says you can rejoice and be glad when you're persecuted because great is your reward in heaven. And you have the opportunity to be numbered among those people who are followers of Christ. If you are persecuted, it means that something about your faith has stood out enough to people to make a difference. And so you can even be thankful, even though you may hate the persecution, you can be thankful that your life has made enough of a difference that people have noticed. These Thessalonians had reason to thank God, to rejoice, even when they were facing persecution. Later on in chapter 4, he talks about people who had died. And he spells out for them in their lives that when people who know Jesus Christ die, there is tremendous hope for them. There's the hope that we don't stay dead, that the hope of resurrection. And he spells out that when Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive will be caught up together with Him. And it's called the blessed hope. And so even in the midst of death and grief, Paul says we don't grieve as people who have no hope. We grieve their sadness and the loss of people, but we can rejoice because of the hope that is ours. We have reason to thank God because of what God has promised that He will do. The point is that in everything, whatever the circumstance, if it applies to persecution, if it applies to grief and to death, it applies to your job, it applies to your family, it applies to your health, it applies in every circumstance that you and I may face. And that's important today because I suspect that not everyone who is here today is at the top of your game. Some of you may be just so overwhelmed by your blessings that you have a hard time stopping just to put them all on a piece of paper. But others of us struggle. That's part of life. And yet, there is still opportunity for us, even in those struggles, to stop and to give thanks. There's cause, no matter what you face, to see God in the midst of it. I can tell you, you know, because I'm up here pretty much every Sunday, and I've told you the stories of my dad. Just last week, I realized that I have so many things to be thankful for in what my dad is going through. One thing I hadn't even thought about, but I realized that that my dad, his Parkinson's now makes it difficult for him to walk. It causes him to fall frequently. He's not mentally as sharp as he once was. And, I can think about all those things that kind of weigh me down. But as I thought about that, I thought, you know what my dad doesn't face? He doesn't face chronic pain. I know people, he's exhausted because the Parkinson's robs him of his dopamine and he doesn't have strength. But I know people who are exhausted all the time because they're in pain all the time and they don't sleep well. Well, my dad sleeps pretty well. There's something to be thankful for, even in his struggles. And for all that my dad faces, he's got some tremendous people caring for him. There's so many things that when I stop to think about it, I realize that even in what is for me right now the big trial of my life, I see God's fingerprints all over it. So there's reason for people who live with a perspective of God in your life to rejoice even in those challenging times. There's reason certainly to pray. Prayer has to be a part of this because you're not going to see things from God's perspective. I'm not going to see them from God's perspective until I stop and talk to Him and hear from Him and gain His perspective. And in doing that, then whatever the circumstance, in that circumstance, I can find plenty of God sightings, plenty of ways to see God at work in my life and the lives of the people that I love. So, how is it that it is God's will for us to give thanks? Well, I think one thing is when we realize that when we stop to give thanks, we realize that God is in control. That, granted, He doesn't cause sin, He doesn't cause calamity, but He allows it. And He works through it. And in ways, it's a mystery to me exactly how that works. But I know that if God could allow His Son to go to a cross at the hands of sinful men to accomplish my salvation, there is no calamity that I'm going to face, no sin that I'm going to face that God can't take and use. So I know that it's God's will. And if I know that God is in control, I also know that He is working things out for my good. That's the great hope of Romans 8:28, that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. Whatever you're facing, whether you're full of joy or whether you're overwhelmed with struggles, God's will for you, for me, is that we would rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in every circumstance. And so this Thanksgiving, we have the opportunity to live out our faith in a way that is so authentic. It's not just getting together with family. That can be a good thing. Not just spending time with friends. That's also a blessing. But even if you don't get to do all those things, to stop, to see God at work, and to realize that He is good, that He is in control, that He's working out His plan, and that you're part of it. All of that gives us reason to give thanks, even for the hard things in our lives. So I want to encourage you as we have a moment for us to share together, for you to think about those things. Maybe they're awesome blessings. Or maybe there's a struggle that you're facing, but you've caught a glimpse of what God may be doing. I'm going to give you that opportunity to share. But let me just have another time of prayer. Lord God, help us to live with You in our equations. To stop, to be willing to pray continually in whatever circumstance that we find ourselves, to lift that up to You in prayer and to gain Your perspective on it. Lord, help us to see how You can use even the difficult circumstances of our lives to bring about Your good. Lord, I thank You for this morning, for the time You give to us to publicly share those things for which we're thankful. I pray You would be honored as we share those things together. In Jesus' name, amen.